Now, let's talk about something many of us have so far seen every day of our life, but often don't stop to think deeply about. And let's talk about the growing number of street children in South Sudan. And this also in line with our talking point earlier on here on the Miraya Breakfast Show. And so in cities and towns across the country, you know, children are forced to stand for themselves on the streets without shelter, protection, or even access to basic services.
We are trying to answer some questions like, what is driving this crisis? What is the government doing? And how can we as society protect and reintegrate these vulnerable children? To understand this difficult but important issue, we are joined here in the studio by Nancy Mateo, a senior official from Directorate of Child Affairs at the National Ministry of Gender, Child and Social Welfare. Nancy, good morning and welcome to Miraya Breakfast Show.
Good morning, Margaret, and thank you for inviting me to this important...
Yes, it's a privilege to have you this morning, Nancy. And so tell us, I mean, how can... I would like you to help us understand the current situation of street children in South Sudan and any official statistics or estimates on their numbers.
Okay, thank you. As we know, we don't like to call them actually street children. Mm. We'd prefer to call them children living and working on the streets, because, you know, sometimes when you call someone a street child, it's like a bit offensive.
It sounds bad.
Yeah, but we like to call them children living and working on the streets.
Mm.
This phenomenon has recently developed in this country, in South Sudan. In the past, it wasn't there. Not totally not there, but we have few children on the streets. But of current situations, we find the number of children increasing by the day, by the hours, in the streets of all towns in South Sudan. And it has become a matter of concern to the government, to my Ministry of Child Welfare, and to the public as a whole.
Mm.
It's a real matter of concern to all of us.
Now, tell us, what are some of the driving factors that is making children to go to the streets? And is it conflict? I mean, is it poverty or even family breakdown? What is it?
Yes, thank you for that. We have discovered that the reason, there are many factors really which make children go to the streets. But the simplest one today is hunger at home. You find a small child who doesn't have food at home, who can't find even one meal per day.
Mm.
The nearest resort is to run to the streets to look for leftovers from the restaurants.
Mm.
Basic needs at home, like health care, like education, even protection, has become a concern in most of our families in this country because of poverty, which is as a result of the wars, the continuous wars that we have been having in this country. It has really impacted negatively on children in this country. And it has driven children to go to streets. The wars is one of the reasons. Poverty, hunger, family breakdown is also another one. Peer influence also is another one. We have also discovered that there's a rural... urban, you know, migration of unaccompanied minors. Children are looking for seeking greener pastures in towns and cities.
Mm-hmm.
This is also one of the factors that also causes it. And many others. Economical situation in the country is also another issue. Mm-hmm. You know, many parents, those ones who survived those wars, many of them are unemployed.
Mm-hmm.
So you are there as a parent, but you can't provide anything for your child. So this one also drives the children to go to the streets because their parents are there, but they can't help them. Most of the children living in the streets are actually children who have families, but the families cannot cater for their basic needs. That's why they're in the streets.
Yes, Madam Nancy, yes. This is a growing crisis now all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
As a National Ministry of Gender, Child and Social Welfare, how are you responding to it before it escalates and become worse?
As the ministry, like I said in the beginning, it's a matter of great concern to us as a government. To the extent it has become one of our top priority areas that we want to look into in this year of 2025.
Mm.
As a government, we have policies. We are mandated by the government to formulate policies that protect children in this country. And children living and working in the streets are also one of the children categories of children that we are supposed to take care of. We have policies, and we are also mandated with ratifying the international tools, because international tools and instruments, because we are also answerable to the international community on how we protect our children in this country. So as a ministry, we have formulated, we have ratified many international instruments like the United Nations Convention on the Rights and Welfare of the Child, Rights of the Child. We have also ratified the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disability to include children with disability. We have also ratified the African Charter on Human and People's Rights. We are in the process of ratifying the African Charter on the Rights and Welfare of the Child, which is still in the process. And we have also domesticated these international instruments in our national policies. We have domesticated it in our South Sudan Constitution articles, which clearly states the protection of children. We have domesticated it in the Child Act, 2008, which is the tool, the main tool that we protect our children with in this country. We also have a policy addressing children living and working on the streets, which is the policy of children without appropriate parental care.
Mm-hmm.
It is there in the ministry. We have very many beautiful policies in this country that really will address this issue of children living and working on the streets.
Do you implement these policies?
That is one of the challenges that we are going to come.
Yes.
That is one of the policies, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And also as a ministry, I would like to also emphasize that we look at the root causes of these problems. One of them is hunger, as we have all seen.
Mm-hmm.
Children are, if you ask them, even when you go to the streets, try to ask, why are you not at home? Why are you not in school? They'll tell you, there's no food at home. There's no one to take care of me at home. So we, as Minister of Gender, we believe that women feed their children.
Mm-hmm.
If a woman has money, or if a woman, a mother, has income, she will feed her child even before herself. So we, as a ministry, have gone with programs of how to empower women through social protection as one of the frameworks that we use to empower mothers such that they can help their children. For example, if you go to the streets of Juba nowadays, you'll see women working on the streets,
mm-hmm.
doing some small cleaning jobs. This is the work of Ministry of Gender with the support of World Bank to ensure that little money is given to the mothers such that they can provide food at home and children stay at home.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of also the initiatives that we have taken.
Mm-hmm.
World Food Program is also there helping with social protection, also trying to empower women, giving them small scale, you know, businesses such that they can have sustainable businesses that can help their families. This is one, besides the policies, we also look into how we can address this issue from the root cause, which is by empowering women, by giving them small business enterprises that could help them keep their children at home.
Mm.
Yeah, this is one of the initiatives that the ministry is taking right now.
Mm.
Yeah.
I would like to understand, do you have safe shelters or safe houses? That's the terminology that's normally used. Or we call them also transitional homes currently operating for these children.
As the government, we have safe homes.
Mm.
We have like two in Juba and one in Wau. Mm. These safe homes was initially, they were initially established for GBV survivors,
mm.
and which children are also included, because, you know, when it comes to GBV on women, children are always involved.
Mm.
Okay? So these safe homes also help to shelter or care or protect children when their mothers are taken there. This,
mm-hmm.
another, we have the Juba Reformatory School in the prisons. It's also one of the government-owned centers that also help rehabilitate children. But we have a challenge as a government of really having government-owned safe homes to protect children who don't have families, who don't have homes that they can stay in. That is why the government, in its priorities this year, 2025, we have come up with a plan to have to establish 3 rehabilitation centers to act as safe homes for children who are so vulnerable that they don't have even families to go back to.
Mm-hmm.
Because our initial idea is to rehabilitate children in the streets, to take them back, to unite them with their
integrate
families.
Integrate them.
Because we believe this is the safest place for every child. So for those ones who completely don't have homes, we thought of building 3 centers in the three greater regions of Equatoria, Upper Nile, and Bahr al Ghazal, specifically in Juba, Wau, and Malakal. We are still lobbying for funds to ensure that this is established. These centers will be centers acting like a safe home for these children.
Mm-hmm.
They will also be centers for offering psychosocial support and mental health. There will also be centers offering rehabilitation in general. We also plan to offer training skills for the teenagers, especially TVET, training and vocational training programs for them. We have a lot, even to offer like child-friendly spaces to bring them from the streets to a safe place. We have piloted this in Juba, by the way, through one of our national grassroots organizations called Gredo, with the support of UNICEF. We brought children from the streets. They come in the morning and they go in the evening. They are offered games. They are rehabilitated. They are given psychosocial support. They are offered even small training skills to help them. And at the evening, they are reintegrated to their families. We have seen the positive impact of these children coming out successfully from their families. So we believe that if we create such centers in the other states, it can further help other children in the other states. So this is in the plan, but we are still lobbying for funds to establish it. Yes.
Okay. Yes. Madam Nancy, what are some of the biggest challenges your ministry is facing in responding to the needs of these children who are living and working in the streets?
We have very many challenges. In the government, we are the least funded government.
Ministry.
We are the least funded ministry, the last one. So this has become a big challenge to the ministry, because we have many programs that are there. When it comes to policies, guidelines, programs for children, we have them. Very beautiful ones that will really help the children of this country. But their implementation has become a challenge because of funding. Funding has become a real, real problem to us. Another challenge is also resources, human resources. The garden is big, like they say, the garden is big, but the workers are few. We have very few social workers, very few in this country, and most of them are not trained. So we really also face a challenge. The number of children are there, they are many, they need services, but we can't get the professional services that they require for quality services. So we also feel there's a need. There's a really big gap when it comes to trained social workers in the field. So we really feel it's also... Yeah.
All right. So what do you think should actually be done now in order to ensure that all these issues are actually addressed and children will not go to the streets again? At least they will have where they can live, and people live actually normal lives.
Okay. One, I can say what we need is to engage everybody. It's a holistic... it needs a holistic approach. Children's issues is not only for the government. It is for the parents at home. They are the first caretakers. They are the first duty bearers when it comes to child protection. The family, the school, the community. You know, see, the teachers, the traditional leaders, the chiefs, the youth, the women, everybody. When it comes to the protection of children, everybody should be engaged. Everybody the capacity should really be built, because we are looking forward to ensure that everybody have at least some knowledge of protecting their children. Because when the children are protected right from the communities, you find a child that you know where the family is at the market. What are you doing here? Talk to the child, take the child back home. So it becomes a holistic approach, a holistic responsibility of everyone. This is one. Number two, we need to do street outreach to raise awareness, because people don't know. In the past, people used to, everybody's child, any child is everybody's child. But today, my child is my child. We need to bring back that you know, family ties, that relationship that we used to have in the past. Everybody can discipline you, but today it's not there. We need to bring back those beautiful values that better protect our children. This is two. We need to raise awareness on the dangers of children living in and working in the streets. We also need to do research. We really need to do research, because we as a government, we don't have specific numbers. We have estimated numbers, but we need really an in-depth research to give us an evidence-based data that we can properly plan for the welfare of these children, on how to prevent them from going to the streets, and when they are there, how to respond or to address those issues.
All right, Nancy, thank you. Thank you so much for taking your time to join us this morning on Emirah Breakfast Show. We do appreciate your time.